This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This is the week Wall Street reforms really start to happen.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The global perspective in a moment. First, federal regulators all this week will be debating how to implement historic Wall Street reforms. Just yesterday, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation proposed some new banking rules. One of those rules requires banks to keep more cash on hand. Congress's financial overhaul, known as the Dodd-Frank Law, put federal agencies like the FDIC in charge of writing new regulations. Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The Dodd-Frank Law was passed this summer, and regulators have just a few months to shape the final rules. Rick Firestone is an attorney with McDermott, Will & Emery.
The rulemaking requirements that have been imposed under the Dodd-Frank Act are historical.
The Securities and Exchange Commission alone has to hammer out nearly 100 regulations governing everything from derivatives trading to municipal bonds. Over the next few weeks, a bunch of agencies will look at debit card fees and new whistleblower provisions. Firestone says corporations have been dispensing advice liberally.
It makes for better rulemaking at the end of the day if those who are impacted by the law have expertise on the issues.
But with the GOP in charge of key House committees, regulators fear they may not get much funding. Attorney Steve Quinn-Liven is with the Leonard Street Law Firm. He says if that happens,
it's not going to be of much use in protecting the financial system.
In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are lower. Asian stocks were down today as well. Moody's rating agency says it may lower the credit rating score in Spain. Wall Street yesterday, markets added a small amount. The Dow was at a two-year high. It closed higher by nearly 48 points to end the day at 11,476. Looks like the U.S. may be ready to jump back into an industry it ceded to the Chinese a decade ago. The Department of Energy this morning will be sharing its strategy on getting the country back up to speed on critical rare earth metals. This week, a company called Molycorp got final approval to reopen such a mine in California's Mojave Desert. Marketplace's Sarah Gardner from the Sustainability Desk got a firsthand look.
A year ago, I'd never heard of rare earth metals. This week, I found myself on a bus to Mountain Pass, California, taking Rare Earth 101 from Molycorp spokesman Jim Sims.
Didymium, as you'll learn today, is a combination of neodymium and praseodymium, and those are all used.
Forget
for the
tongue twisters. What's important is we depend on these metals. They're in cell phones, hybrid cars, laptops, even jet fighters. China's been the dominant producer for years now, but it's cutting back exports. So Molycorp is preparing to reopen the only rare earth mine in the U.S. It's just off Interstate 15, an hour southwest of Vegas.
We're about 400 feet from the edge to the bottom.
General Manager Rocky Smith gives the guided tour of this open-pit mine. It's an impressively big hole in the ground, more impressive than the rust-worn buildings here that date back to the 60s. That's when this mine supplied the world with europium, the stuff that gave us vibrant reds on our color TV screens. But the mine closed in 2002, plagued by environmental problems and Chinese competition. When it reopens, Molycorp's promising cleaner operations and at least 20,000 tons of rare earths a year. CEO Mark Smith says that's more than enough to meet current U.S. demand, and there's room to grow.
We've only disturbed 55 acres after 58 years, and we own 2,222 acres. So we will be here for many, many hundreds of years.
A bit of CEO hype, perhaps, but Smith has reason to be giddy. Molycorp's stock price has more than doubled since July. But Agora Financial's Byron King says Molycorp has yet to prove itself.
This is a lot more like running Dow Chemical Company than it is like running, say, Barrick Gold.
King says rare earth mining and processing is complex chemistry. and the U.S. hasn't done it for years. Starting over again will no doubt test Molycorp's mettle. In Mountain Pass, California, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
And now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. The African country of Ghana joined a very exclusive club today. That country began pumping oil off its coast, an oil field the country hopes will bring in $1 billion per year. The BBC's David Amanner is with us from a ceremony in Cape Three Points to mark the occasion. Hi, David.
Hello, hi.
Sounds pretty lively there. How are people celebrating?
Well, actually, what we're hearing here is a colorful makeshift amphitheater. And there's a giant screen here where we've been watching pictures of President Atta Mills aboard the floating production and storage unit, where he's been turning the taps on for Ghana's first oil to flow. So the music you're hearing in the background is Ghana's national dance ensemble, who've been singing and dancing in all the different traditional styles.
Let's change gears a bit, David, and talk about how important this could be for the economy. What are the people of Ghana saying about that?
Well, I think people here out on the streets have sort of tempered their expectations, but they do expect it to be a blessing. They do expect their lives to improve. So perhaps expectations might be a little high, because really, I mean, we're looking at a boost to the economy of between 500 million to 1 billion US dollars. I mean, you're talking about a 1.85 or to a 3.7% increase in the economy. And in the scheme of things, that's not really a lot.
Ghana, David, is known as one of the most stable countries in Africa. Is it concerned about how things could perhaps go sour with this oil exploration?
There are concerns in a way that things could go sour in a slow kind of way, that there are fears that, you know, oil could feed corruption, maybe in the same ways that it has in Nigeria, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea, and a widening gap between rich and poor. You know, there are several negatives to watch out for in the oil experience.
The BBC's David Amanner currently at this ceremony to mark the occasion in Ghana of oil exploration there. David, thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And finally, the Swiss bank UBS has sent out a 52-page dress code to a handful of retail banking branches. Among the suggestions, women should wear makeup, their shoes shouldn't be too tight, and employees should stay away from tobacco and smelly foods. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Think for a second about where Turkey sits on a map, and then figure out what happens if Europe gives them the cold shoulder.
We are a giant pipeline for human resources, for trade, for everything. It's like a bridge for accessing the Middle East.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Turkey turns east next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.